Today are Genesis 2 verses 18 and then 22 to 23, and Luke 16 verses 1 through 12. So we'll start with Genesis 2 verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And then in verse 22, "Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken.'" And then Luke 16, 1 to 12. And Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors, and he asked the first, 'How many much do you owe my master?' 900 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. So I tell you this, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whosoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whosoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?"
So as you saw, our text tonight is from Luke chapter 16, starting verses 1 to 12. And the title for this message is Stewards of Relationship. As last week, we spoke about Stewards of Grace, and we'll be mentioning some of that tonight here as well. So relationships are tricky, messy, complicated, right? Sometimes very complicated. They are easy to break. Do you agree? And really hard and painful. But even though, you know, hard to restore. Easy to break, but hard to restore. And sometimes, or lots of times, they are hard and painful. But even though, we cannot flourish, we cannot live without relationships. As good stewards, we are to apply the resources given by God to the best of our ability to change people's lives in this world for God's purpose and for His glory. Remember from last week, if nothing else is entrusted to us on this earth, grace is. We are asked to be faithful to these responsibilities, to the responsibilities our relationship with Christ gives us. We know that God owns everything we have, and we are to be good and faithful stewards with what He had entrusted us. We were designed and created by God for relationship, and He also calls us to be good stewards in our relationships. God's kingdom, it's all about relationships. We are stewards of relationships because they are a God-given gift. We must seek to invest, grow, and maximize love to strengthen our relationships. So, for that, we need to cultivate love, because love is that glue that keeps relationships together. The resources we have are surely important, but they are not to replace love. Psalms chapter 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in this world belongs to Him." So ultimately, as we all know, everything belongs to God. For us to understand relationships and the role we play in them, we must first examine God's purpose. As we saw in Genesis, we were made in God's image. Our model, our God models relationship for us in the Trinity, where the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three persons in one perfect God. We are all created unique. So if you look closer to your hand, those lines, your fingerprints. Now, you think about what, 8 billion plus people in this planet? Plus those who have passed and those who are still to be born? So nobody will have the same details as you have in your hands. Even those who are identical twins, they have those details different. So even though we are so different, we have the same eternal value before our God. So in Genesis 2, on those verses, it tells us that we are designed and created for relationship. God wants us to enjoy, rejoice, bless, and be blessed with them. Unfortunately, that pure and beautiful relationship with our Creator that we had at the beginning was broken and damaged by sin. But God desires and gives us an opportunity to Jesus Christ to restore that broken relationship with Him. By experiencing and having our relationship with Him restored, He calls us to make the difference in the lives of those He sends our way. We are called to be salt and light. We are called to use our skills to build up relationship and expand His kingdom here on this earth. Remember, as I said, we are stewards of God's grace. We need to make the most of every opportunity to take more people with us to heaven. Remember the train that I mentioned last week? Keep that on your mind. So as we read in Luke chapter 16 there, life was good for that manager. Everything was under control. He was successful in his way of making a living. But he was caught by surprise by his employer, his master, and he was about to lose his job. You know, one of those moments where you go, "What now? Oh, caca," you know, like, "This is terrible. What am I going to do now?" What would a manager do without a job? As we saw, he was not able to do any manual labor. He was too proud to beg for money. Using all his mature skills, he had an aha moment. You know, we have those old cacas, but we have the aha moments. Those are great. So, he came out with a master plan where he would make friends who would take care of him in the future. So, he calls all his master's debtors and started to reduce their debts. Cut some gallons of olive oil here, some bushels of wheat there, subtract a little bit more for you here. There you go. Pronto. Finished. That's it. All done. Mission accomplished. He had made people happy. He was feeling good about what the future would hold for him. So far, this parable here is straightforward. It's easy for us to understand that a person can take some desperate actions during desperate times. Now, in verse 8, is where the parable intrigues us. So let's read again, verse 8 there. It says, the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. So the employer would at some point find out what the manager did. For sure he would. So how would he react when he heard the news and saw the books? Ironically, the master praised the manager for his shrewdness. Wait, that doesn't make sense. How can dishonor a just master praise the steward for cheating out of his own money? He was being stealed. Why? Because the manager business plan was smart and clever. Even though he did not have much time available, it would accomplish the purpose that the man set out for it. Perhaps it make the master look good in the eyes of those who are in debt to him and who continue to do business with him. Perhaps the manager was reducing the debt by taking out his own commission that was added to the debt in order for him to make a living for himself. The fact is that good gesture would reflect positively on the employer as well. Still on verse 8, the people of this world represents unbelievers, and the children of light represent believers. So essentially, Jesus' point in this parable is that unbelievers will stop at nothing. They will go to great distance to ensure that their future is well taken care of. They'll take risks, they'll make plans, they'll make sure they are ahead of the game and prospering. They'll make sure that their money will be well invested and they will possess more and more every day. They are on it for prosperity and power. There's probably nothing that an unbeliever will not do to secure their future and to make sure that their earthly future is well taken care of. We can understand that because they have no hope of their lives come to an end. That's exactly what the manager did in this parable. He did whatever he needed to make sure his future was secured, and for that reason he was commended. Sadly, Christians not only will not use the same creativity, inspiration, skill, and wisdom to advance the earthly kingdom as the unbelievers do in the secular world. But more importantly, believers oftentimes are less concerned about securing their heavenly future and doing what they need to do in this side of heaven to make sure that they will be taken care of on that side of heaven. This is sad, you know why? Because heavenly future is worth far more than any earthly value, any earthly future. In fact, we cannot compare the two of them, right? So Jesus wants to make use of the earthly resources. Sorry, Jesus wants us to make use of the earthly resources to bless and help others, so our friends will be there if we need them. Things of this world should always be used to do good with this goal in mind. But do not forget, they are only temporary resources. One day, they will no longer be available. Use them while you can. Be a good steward, but do not make them the end, only the means. Used in this way, worldly resources can help you to prepare for eternity. By being generous, particularly by sharing with those in need, we will restore some treasures in heaven. So, on verses 10 and 11 there, the disciples thought that this parable did not apply to them. And we may think that this does not apply to us either. So, they did not have any resources. They thought. Jesus disagreed. He said, no matter how few resources you have, be trustworthy with them. Only as you get in the habit of generous, trustworthy use of your few resources, you can be entrusted with more. Keep in mind that Jesus wants us to be faithful in little things, so we can be entrusted with larger things. We are not only to be good stewards of our existing relationships, but we have the mandate to develop more, to make more friends. Jesus commands us to go and make disciples. We all know that. Do you understand the importance of having good relationships to be a disciple maker? It's an investment, basically, right? We gain people trust so we can share the truth of the gospel with them. So, when I read this text, I hear Jesus saying to me, whatever you do, invest in people's lives. Make friends. Do it with eternal intent. Keep in mind that when we work in God's kingdom here on earth, we build things on heaven for eternity. And I like the text in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 where Paul says, even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who followed the Jewish law, I too lived under the law, even though I am not subject to the law. I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness. For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Amen? So, my question for you is, what's God asking you to become in order to share His grace with others? I don't know your answer, of course, but let me share with you my experience as an introvert who could not speak with a door. You know, maybe the door would speak back to me. So, you have no idea. I was so shy that if I could, I would have paid people not to talk with me at all. Right? Stay away. I would not look to people. just in case they would look back at me and perhaps address their word to me. That became way worse when my wife and I moved to Canada. And now we need to talk with people in English. And we have been living in Canada for 17 years now. And some people in the room have met us when we first moved to Alberta in 2008. And they know what I mean by that, speaking with people in English. It was so terrible. So anyway, it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. And I always had my heart for ministry, but I did not consider myself to become a pastor. You know, we have no option but to talk with people, right? And they come to speak with us. So all that to say, is God asking you to become someone you think you cannot become? So look what God did in my life. You may be thinking, I cannot do that on my own. And I say, you got it. That's exactly it. That's great. What? The fact that I cannot do something? No. The fact that you recognize that's not in your own power and strength. Right? It will be the Holy Spirit of God working on you and through you to enable you to do whatever God asks you to do for Him. You will not be on your own. The Holy Spirit will go before you to prepare people's hearts. He will guide you. God wants you to take the first step and trust Him to do the work through your life. What God wants from us, it's not mere activity, but a deeper relationship with Him and a deeper meaningful relationship with people around us. The main purpose for that is for us to share God's grace with everyone we meet. The grace that He has poured into our lives. Remember, we are stewards of grace. Stewards of God's grace. We did not deserve, Christ gives us. We don't deserve, He still gives us. We will not deserve in the future, but He will remain graceful. And please let me know if you need to understand what grace is. So I want to encourage you to be a good steward of your relationships. Invest on them. Cultivate and maximize love to make them stronger. Pray for them. So don't be afraid to use lots of that of love, the glue, right? The love glue that keep them closer to you. Remember, they can be hard, they can be painful. It's easy to love those who love us. How about those who had hurt us really bad? And you may need to address some issues to restore a broken relationship. You may need to forgive. You may need to ask for forgiveness. So I had experienced that. And I had done that. I had asked people to forgive me. So, and I want to encourage you to do that. It's really, really good. It's really powerful. As you experience that, you feel the power of God in your life. So it's worthy. Do that. So if someone had hurt you, talk with them. You know that people may be wired differently. So and some people not even realize that they have hurt someone. So sometimes they need that, you know, smack back in the back of their head. Come on, wake up, you know. So, God would love to see your broken relationships being restored. So, enjoy them. and be a good steward of this precious God's God-given gift. So I want to stop here for a minute. As I said before, we are called to be salt and light. We are called to use our skills to build up a relationship and expand God's kingdom. So I want to challenge you with one thought, one question. You are the only person in your neighborhood that have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So there's a reason why God had placed you in that position. The question is that I want you to meditate on. How many people would be challenged and impacted with the gospel message? How many people that are dependent on me to go and share the gospel will hear about Jesus Christ? It's not an easy challenge. I'm sure it's not. But I put myself on that challenge. What will I be do different to impact more people that God sent my way? Kingdom living involves being good stewards of worldly resources, including relationships, for the good of heaven's purpose. So, as you make friends, as you build relationships, do that always with a purpose to gain people for Christ, to expand His kingdom on earth, and bring them to experience heaven with you for eternity. How great is that? Let's pray once more. Father, we thank you for this word. Father, we thank you for the reminder, Lord, of the Holy Spirit that we need to be challenged, Lord. We need to challenge ourselves to be good stewards, Lord, for our relationships. And Father, as we leave this place tonight, Lord, I continue to ask, Lord, I continue to pray that your Holy Spirit will be challenging us to share, Lord, to start a conversation, to build our relationships that will bring honor and glory to you, Father, that will bring people to come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Father God, we know that your Holy Spirit will be going forward, Lord, before us to prepare people's heart. So give us, Lord, the confidence and the strength, Lord, to start conversations, to start relationships, Father, so we can share with people, Lord, in this earth, the hope that we have for eternity, Lord. The hope that we only have in Jesus Christ. So we praise your name and thank you for this word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless.